travel at speeds pushing 200 miles per hour. The very best drivers in the world putting their lives on the line every week. It's time to get the lowdown on this week's contenders, plus a look at the key driver matchups. Right now, on Gone Racing.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into Gone Racing. Brendan Gaughan is sitting here with Jeff Motley, both back in studio this weekend. And Mr. Motley, I'm glad we're back in. We've got back in the big bed.
I know they've kind of. We're not banished to the lounge.
We haven't been thrown to the Grandview Lounge this year. We got back in the big bed, so excited to be back in studio at Gone Racing. Even though it was still good over in the corner, we made a nice little home over there.
Right, but it's kind of, you're right, it's nice to be back in here. Lighting's a little bit better.
Well, I don't know if it's better for those watching on TV, because you get more light on.
Yeah, they got to look at us.
Faces for radio right here. But, we're going to kind of break down Daytona and talk about the road course this week. But last weekend at Daytona, Jeff, another one of the, I'm telling you, NASCAR, if your town is going through a drought, call us up. We can bring the rain, and we can bring a lot of it.
You know, and it's sad because this is 2 years in a row that the Daytona 500 has been affected by the rain, and it's really kind of disappointing because, you know, we saw the TV ratings at the beginning of the race in 2020 were great before the rain hit, and the ratings were looking great up until that first crash. Of course, I think from a TV standpoint, they got the double whammy. Number one, you lost a lot of really good cars in a crash.
On lap 14. Laps in,
which, you think about it, people that are fans of some of those drivers, they're going to just, some of them are not even going to tune in because their driver's out. But then you get a rainstorm that lasts for six and a half hours or whatever, and you finished a race after midnight on the East Coast, which I'm going to guess 80% of your viewership was past midnight for them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but what was fun to watch, though, and I think the TV does a good job of this part. You got to get filler, right? You got to find, how about the guys going through, like Chase Briscoe, he went through the drive-through with his wife. Like, back in the day, I'd be too afraid to leave the track.
Well, and you notice it was the young guys. It was Tyler Reddick, Ross Chastain, Chase Briscoe. Those were the guys heading out to the drive-thru window, which somebody was making fun of somebody saying, oh, rookie mistake because you went to certain restaurants.
What was Chase? What is,
Chase went to Panda Express, and somebody said what a rookie mistake that was. Like, it was going to affect him. Well, he knew that it was probably going to be 6 hours before he had to get back in the race car.
My eyes don't work good enough, but his fortune cookie, if you're watching on the VSiN stream, he got a fortune cookie that was rather amusing.
It says, turn towards those with the means to help you succeed.
That's actually a very apropos.
It probably is in that case. So.
That was kind of funny. You know, we were talking about, Karina was asking me about if I did anything fun. Like, what did we used to do during the rain delays? The worst thing for a team, Jeff, and you're in Vegas, we don't have many of those rain delays out here.
Right.
But the rain delay thing sucks. Like, as a driver, we're like, we're trying to figure out what to do. And I definitely did not go to Cheddar's or leave the track and do that. But like, for us, it used to be, we used to do drunk history.
Well, and I don't know what's going on right now with the COVID protocols, because I thought the drivers and teams are supposed to stay separated. And yes, I don't know.
I don't know about that. We know nothing about that. We don't talk about that.
But, you know, we've seen rain delay fun. I mean, we saw, you know, Bubba Wallace and Corey LaJoie out
doing the
footballs.
That's with, right.
with the fans in the stands.
I mean, how about Tyler Reddick, though? He actually did a great job. That's his sponsor. He's sponsored by Cheddar's this year. So he went to a Cheddar's and started posting pictures of his dinner at Cheddar's.
Well, and Chastain, he was had McDonald's on his car, and he went through the McDonald's drive through and got food for the entire crew.
Brilliant move by the young kids to get a little marketing plug in there. Nicely done. That was impressive. But me, like I said, we used to just go back to the hauler, and we put on, literally, we used to DVR drunk history. So when we'd have a rain delay, you'd have 15 of us, 15 grown men, just all piled into the the lounge, and we'd be watching. Have you ever seen Drunk History?
I cannot say I'd ever even heard of that program.
Oh, Drunk History. I don't know what channel it's on, but basically they take actors and they get people drunk, like literally they get them drunk, and then they make them tell a history story, like the history of Abe Lincoln or the history of Tesla or Edison, and they voice over. They have people acting, and they voice over. So like, it may be a guy talking, but it's a woman that's drunk, so the woman's voice and the men are voice at it. Dude, it's hilarious.
I don't know. I saw some show a couple years ago where they got Kelly Clarkson really drunk, and that was really funny. But I
could have been drunk history.
I don't think it was drunk history, but I just thought it was really hilarious. She like fell off a bar stool or something. It was pretty hilarious.
Dude, you really want to have a good time? Check it out. I'm telling you, it's worth looking at. That was, then we used to have the early days of like phones where we had like race car app things. So it was kind of fun. But anyway, we digress. So once again, welcome into Gone Racing. It is Jeff Motley. It is Brendan Gaughan. We are back in studio. And
now, no more talking about drunk Kelly Clarkson.
Nope, no more talking about that part. Time to get to the nitty-gritty of what we did this last weekend in NASCAR. Jeff, absolutely phenomenal race. And we said on this show, what was one of the guys? I picked him in Group F, but Michael McDowell.
You know, I'll give you credit. You have talked up Michael McDowell at every super speedway race and every road course. So I guess you had to figure that on the 34th time, you were going to be right.
You know, here's the deal. You bet him to win at the South Point. He was 60-1. I saw the DraftKings had him, I think, at 125. DraftKings had him at 16-1 for a top three. The Superbook had him at Group
66
F.
66 or 60-1, yeah.
200 plus 275. But what I told you then, which is the same thing, and this is why it's not a crapshoot, he is always there at the end of these races, and he was in position to win. I was so happy for him because that's what we were. That's what the Mighty 62 right. team was about, was that position.
No, and I agree with you on that. It wasn't like he was running 15th and ended up winning because the first 14 guys in front of him wrecked. Right. No, I will give him credit. He put himself in position to win. And look, he was going to help Keselowski get to the front, but he wasn't going to stay with Keselowski once the two of them got clear of Logano.
No. That's where it's every man for himself. That's what you live for in that sport. And you know, on my show with Pete Pistone, we talked about they have a new thing on fantasy racing on NASCAR.com where they pick a team. I had Team Penske as my pick of the team pick now. And I know that Ann may have also been a little heavy on Penske Racing at the betting window. So she... I heard Ann was not very happy.
I was going to say there probably were a lot of four-letter words flying around on that last lap.
Well, no, I don't think it was four-letter words, but I do know there might have been a hot mic, and it might have been an oh my gosh, and it may have, you know, it was pretty, supposedly on another VSiN show, it was pretty funny. Hmm. But I just, you know, we digress on
that. We have a clip? I don't know.
That would have been a good one.
It would have.
So if we look at last week, though, if we go through some of last week's results, Group A, Chase Elliott was plus 275. He was, you know, there was pretty tight-knit group there. Kevin Harvick was Group B at plus 280. Kyle Larson, once again, start off the season, Kyle Larson wins Group C. And we said, I mean, good start for the season for Kyle.
Yeah, he stayed out of trouble. It was important for him.
Ross Chastain in that evenly matched Group D, all plus 270s. Ross Chastain come winning it. Austin Dillon with that third place finish. And, of course, Michael McDowell in Group F won the groups there. So we talked about Daytona and Talladega, how anything can happen.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to bring up one thing. You know, the guy who, you know, was a two-time, he won the last two races, was Denny Hamlin. And everybody went in with him as the favorite. He decided after that big wreck on lap 15 that, well, with that many guys out of the race, I'm going to go up and run in the front. I feel safer up running at front. I think the Toyotas made a major screw-up because there were so few of them on the track. They needed to either bet with the Chevy drivers or the Ford drivers. Now, I think the Ford drivers, if they thought they were going to pit with them, the Ford drivers screwed them. Because if you realize, when the Ford guys came in, they all dropped out of line and basically blocked the Toyota guys. They wouldn't have gotten to pit road with the Ford guys. But they could have come with the Chevrolet guys. And I think by them only being in, and here's the other problem, Denny got off pit road too good. So he was too far in front of Kyle or Bell or Bubba, whoever else was back there to help him. So he was by himself. So he knew he was going to get freight trained by the pack. And then the other issue that came in is because we had that wreck on lap 15 and we lost all those cars, we ended up with a single file run for almost the last 60 laps going to the finish. And I believe if you had Byron and Bowman and Blaney and a Kurt Busch that was up to speed and a Martin Truex Jr. up to speed, we wouldn't have seen that single file line running around there those last 60 laps.
No, and look, the bettors, I got to give a shout out to Bubba Wallace. Bubba did a brilliant job. Michael Jordan's debut, you know, he can't be happy about the team, you know, having a loose lug nut, but that's part of racing. But Bubba did a brilliant job all day long, led a ton of laps, was up with his teammates, pushing when he needed to push, you know, that deal. And the Toyotas at the end, you know, that's why you hold the Penske cars wrecking in turn three. That's why you hold the tickets. You know, you can't cash them until they cross that line. But strategy comes into play in these things. And we're going to talk about strategy with road course racing because there is a lot of strategy that the bettor has to take in this week also when we start talking about this week's Daytona race on the road course. But you got to pay attention to these things, guys. We told you last week, you know, you and I always argue about crapshoot.
I just like the fact that you're saying that word.
Whoa. I am not saying crapshoot.
That's twice you
I'm
said
saying
it.
You called a crapshoot. I don't, is what I'm saying.
I know you said it three times in a minute now. So.
Okay. Well, but once again, the same people. Brad Keselowski was near the front. Joey Logano was near the front. Denny Hamlin, two races in a row, still was near the front. Austin Dillon has a great history there. We talked about that. We talked about these guys that have that history. And when you look at the finish order, all those guys we said that have a great history, Ryan Preece stays in the back, finished up there. Jamie McMurray, who
hadn't raced in two years.
He did. I was poo-pooing Jamie McMurray. He got a top 10. Corey LaJoie, who's always up there. You know, those are guys that we always talk about being there. And they did it again.
Well, and look, you had a wreck with the second and third place cars on lap 15. I mean, that's...
Oh, that took out so many good cars.
That just should not happen. It just shouldn't happen, but it is what it is.
So, we broke down last week. Now, you know, we any other news that's going on this week that before we start really delving into, you know, betting on things, to me, road course racing at Daytona, Jeff, points racing, but what's unique is we had a precursor.
Yeah, we did with the shootout and
the clash.
They change the name every year. So.
How much? We always talk about data, right? That you know when we're on with JVT and stuff, we talk about data and where to look at and how to find these things, how to crunch numbers. There's not many data points for the Daytona Road Course, but they just had one 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. Do you put a lot of data in that? Do you look at that race and say, I expect very similar things?
No question. First off, look, Chase Elliott is going to be the best car there. He's going to be the best guy there. Now, I'm not saying he's going to win because anything can happen, but Chase Elliott is the guy who really should win this race. Martin Truex Jr. is very, very strong. Here's the thing with Chase Elliott. If he does not make any mistakes on pit road or have any mechanical problems, he should win this race, and I'll tell you why. He is starting on the pole. Martin Truex Jr. is starting 21st. Ryan Blaney is starting almost 30th. And yes, they can work their way up through the field, but Chase has always had to work his way up through that field. And I'm telling you right now, him starting first, do you know what a lead he could get? Now, I understand you get a caution and it's going to bunch the field back up, but
you got stages that'll bunch the field back up.
I understand, but he should be the first in the pits and without any mistakes, should be the first one out of the pits. And Chase Elliott, when he is in front on a road course,
Look, it's tough to beat him, but he was not the best car at Talladega in the road course 2 weeks ago at the Clash. I think Martin Truex Jr. was the best car.
And I still don't know. It was so inexplicable for him to wreck like that.
I couldn't believe what he did. But at the road course, we do have a lot of data points, and I want to bring this up right now, that when you talk Daytona road racing, you know, now we're talking lefts and rights. You just mentioned it at the top of the show that I talk about Michael McDowell every time we go super speedway racing. And what's the other type of racing I talk about Michael McDowell?
Road course racing. And we got seven of them on the schedule this year.
Where did Michael McDowell finish last year in this race?
I'm sure you're going to tell me.
10th.
Okay, top 10. Good for him.
Top 10. Ran well. A lot of momentum. Do I dare put a Michael McDowell top 3 action or top 10 action out there with somebody?
Go ahead. I say he doesn't get a top 3. Now, well, we don't do the lines on top 10s, but I think a top 10 is fair because he's going to start second. And I think that's
You just said that's a big advantage for Chase Elliott.
It is.
So it's not a big advantage for Michael?
That's what I was going to say. Okay. That I do think that is one of the reasons why I like the Michael McDowell play. I think a top 3 finish is going to be asking a lot because I think Elliott and Truex, to me, are clearly going to be the class of the field, barring some unforeseen circumstance. And, yeah, could Michael McDowell slip in there in the third spot? Maybe. But I really like Kyle Busch. I like Denny Hamlin. I like those guys. I like Ryan Blaney if he can work his way up through the field. I think those guys are certainly going to be there at the end, at least challenging for a top 3.
Well,
and don't count out another guy who is running this race, but he doesn't run very often, is A.J. Allmendinger.
Ooh.
A.J. Allmendinger is a guy, watch out for him. Now, I know he's going to have to start way back in the field, but out for A.J. Allmendinger.
But here's my thing. You're making that case for Chase to run away with the race early a little bit, you know, because he's starting from the pole and do all this. I take starting at the rear of a road course very similar to starting at the rear at the super speedway. It can be made up easily. You know, A.J. Allmendinger is going to be probably 39th or 38th or something. Or no, I guess, no, they still might be 38th or 37th or something. I'll look that up in a second. But A.J. Allmendinger's ability on a road course is honestly, Chase Elliott's shown a lot of muster, but A.J. Allmendinger has a lot more experience and a lot more, you know, especially on this racetrack.
Well, and the one thing about this racetrack, I think that is advantageous if you're starting in the back, there are so many passing zones. So, you know, a lot of road courses, like you go to Watkins Glen, you go to Sonoma, you really have a couple of passing zones. So your chances of picking off more than one or two cars on a lap is very difficult unless somebody gets off course or something like that. Whereas on this track, you could conceivably pick off five or six guys in a lap.
Well, I know we had a graphic that had the track map if you're watching on the VSiN, you know, channel. And that track map can show you that what is nice about this racetrack is, you're right, turn one is a passing zone. Turn three is a passing zone. Turn five is a passing zone. Turn six is a passing zone. Turn nine, turn 13. You have five different passing zones on this racetrack that can all be set up, which is what makes, to me, road racing at good road courses, what makes it so much fun, because now that's why it's like a short track. That's why people love to watch this road racing now, because you see a guy haul the mail into the back straightaway bus stop. You're doing 185, 195 miles an hour down to 50.
Well, and the other thing that point out with this track here is, even though I know you're talking about the passing zones really being like in turn six or in turn nine, well, if you don't, okay,
you got to set it up. No, it's a setup thing.
Exactly, yeah. Because you may be able to keep a guy behind you, but if you don't get off that corner very well and he gets the accelerator,
he's coming to the next
on that high banking on Daytona, you can just drive up to the outside if you've got more momentum coming off those turns.
Well, and one of the things I noticed from the Busch Clash the other day, when Ryan Blaney had the lead over Chase Elliott, when he came off of turn 10, which is what's on the map, turn 10, he exited the bus stop into the oval turn 3. Ryan Blaney and that Ford horsepower absolutely crushed the Chevrolet. He would pull three car lengths just in the acceleration zone, just in the gearing they had, just in the ability to put that power down. Ford flexed their muscle, and it was huge to watch Ryan Blaney drive away on the exits of every corner.
But the most impressive thing to me late in that race was Ryan Blaney was on fresh tires, and Chase Elliott stayed with him. He was out of tires. He, not only did he stay with him, he really kind of he gave a gap, and then he kind of caught back up to him, and he was going to win the race.
Chase could outbrake him. I mean, that was the big thing, is if you watch the race, the braking. So for me, if I'm a better on this race, what I'm going to do, Jeff, and you said it, if I'm a better, I'm going to go back and just grab the tape from 2 weeks ago. Now, it wasn't the full field. We didn't have Michael McDowell. We didn't have A.J. Allmendinger. We didn't have some of these guys because it was a challenge race. But I'm going to look at the guys, their average running position, see where they ran, see where they finished, see what their pit crews did. I'm going to watch that race.
And that's where I think where Michael McDowell, A.J. Allmendinger could potentially get hurt is in the pits. Because, look,
their colleague has an RCR team.
Right, but well, and that'll help them. There's no question about that. But that's certainly...
That always hurts Michael. That always hurts the front row team.
Right, and look, the worst thing for those guys, honestly, is to have to pit under caution. They're much better off pitting under green flag conditions, because if they give up 0.2 under a green flag condition, they may not even lose a spot on the track. You give up 0.2 when everybody's on pit road,
you lose five spots.
Or more.
And that's unusual. Normally when we talk in the sport, we talk about, man, if you pit under green, you're screwed. Forget about it. But in road course racing, it's different. And that's what
they want. Road courses, Pocono and Indianapolis. Pocono. Well, Indianapolis is a road course now. We're not running the oval. But those are the only places that you can make a green flag pit stop and not go a lap down. And if you can make a green flag pit stop and not go a lap down, you would prefer to pit under green.
All right, guys, when we come back, we're going to do a bunch of breaking down things. But, you know, since we're new and we were gone for part of last year and we don't run in the off season, we got to tell you some of the ways to watch our show Gone Racing and the rest of VSiN. You know, first, you can go to the old-fashioned VSiN.com/subscribe, and that's where you can sign up to watch all the VSiN shows, including ours, VSiN Networks on Fubo and Sling. Things are different than last year. This is why we're taking a moment to kind of talk about where you can find us. Gone Racing, of course, shows Thursdays at 10 p.m., but we're also Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all Pacific times. So we get replayed a lot during the weekend before the races. So if you missed us, you know, at the first showing on Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, you can still catch us Sunday even before the race. You can always go to your web browsers and go to VSiN's new audio player, which is free, and you can listen to the shows from earlier in the day and jump back and forth 60 seconds in case you missed now. Just hit the Listen Now button. Of course, on your mobile phones, the 24/7 live streams. They have a VSiN app that's on the iPhone and the Android devices. iHeartMedia, which of course is a big deal nowadays. I mean, that's where my kids do iHeartMedia. That's how apparently you and I are old, because I struggle just to learn how to.
And we have our podcast on iHeartMedia.
Yes, we do. And so we partner now full time with iHeartMedia to have multiple options. You can find an iHeartRadio channel and connect to VSiN with iHeartMedia. So there's a bunch of those there. Live streams. VSiN has, of course, the live stream that we talk about while we're doing this show. You can stream it live, and also has a Listen Here button. Voice-enabled devices, which has VSiN available for smart speakers, which is really cool.
Just ask Alexa.
That's right. Just ask Alexa. You know, and even when you're driving down the road, just like the old days, you know, have it on the radio. Just put it, stream it through your phone, put it on Bluetooth, listen to the app while you're going down the road. You can listen to Jeff. Well, Jeff, you're going to be doing some driving in a couple weeks. You can actually listen to the VSiN while you're doing your cross-country drive.
I think I'll be doing some of that.
So we got a lot of those things done. We still got a little bit left in this, but it's exciting. You know, Jeff and I, we are kind of dinosaurs, some people think, but we got to learn about these things. iHeartMedia's and streaming. I'm streaming now. Come on, we're hip. We got
the way we've had to adapt over the last 10 years to changing technology, and you and I have probably done better than most.
Easiest thing for me is the apps. I can understand an app. The rest of it, I'm struggling. All right, when we come back, we're going to break down the Daytona Road Course, get into who's going to win the race and who we like, and more on Gone Racing. Welcome back in, everybody. Gone Racing, Brennan Gaughan, Jeff Motley, the fabulous VSiN studio here at South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. And Mr. Motley, we're talking all things Daytona Road Course racing, which, first of all, really cool to say that. And let's get right into the odds this week to win the race. And no surprise, but the surprise is this is not an odd to be in the top three. This is the odd to win the race. Chase Elliott might be the lowest odd I've ever seen in the 3 years we've done this show. Plus 200 to win the race at Daytona Road Course.
And Martin Truex Jr. is plus 350. Look, it's pretty obvious. The lines makers, they figure one of these two guys is going to win the race. Because look at the odds on everybody else.
Look at the gap. It's Chase Elliott 200, Martin Truex Jr. 350, and then you go to Denny Hamlin at 12-1. I mean, that's a massive drop. You got Ryan Blaney, William Byron, and Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson all at 16-1.
Hold on. Ryan Blaney, this guy was going to win.
He was going to win the race at 16-1. And Kyle Busch, who won the race at 16-1. And how about AJ Allmendinger, the road course ace at 20-1. Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Alex Bowman, 25. Kurt Busch, Chase Briscoe at 40. Chase Briscoe is a hell of a road racer.
Kurt is not a bad road course racer. 40-1 on Kurt.
I know you love. We do love ourselves some Kurt Busch here. I'm not too concerned about Kurt Busch being 40-1. Maybe 20 years ago he was a decent road racer, but
Kurt, make sure you know the difference in voices if you're listening to this. Okay, that was Brendan.
Hey, listen, Kurt knows we all give a little love, but you know, I mean, I will tell you this though: last 10. Road course races, not just Daytona, because they're only one data point, one and a half. Kurt Busch, 10 races, 7 top 10s in the last 10 road course races.
See, I told you. The guy doesn't run bad. Now he's going to be starting way back probably in the middle of the field.
And he's got a pole.
You know what's interesting about this Daytona road course? This is 2 years in a row we're going to race on the Daytona road course, and it's 2 years in a row that when the season schedule came out, wasn't on the schedule. So you wonder if this is going to become more of a permanent part of the schedule, but I guess they'd have to take a race away from somewhere else, and it probably will not be.
Because
obviously this race was supposed to be in Fontana, California, and they moved it. Actually, we're supposed to be going to Homestead this week. And the way with the everything being changed around and some of the rules in California, they moved Homestead back a week and moved the Fontana race to the road course at Daytona.
Which, I look, as far as team and logistics go, and I think for fans, I think that's awesome. I think this is a great deal. You know, we didn't get to the second page, and I want to get to it for a very specific reason, and it's because the 80-1 shots, Chris Bell, Eric Jones, Michael McDowell, Tyler Reddick, Eric Almirola, and Justin Haley are all 80-1 shots. Michael McDowell, you've just heard me talk about this. Michael McDowell is a heck of a road racer.
He is a good road racer, now, and like we talked about, he's going to start up front, and that's good. That's a huge advantage.
Huge advantage there. It's going to help him a lot, but you know how I feel about momentum and all this? Now, look, if we were going to California Speedway this weekend, Homestead Speedway, Michael McDowell wouldn't be 80-1. He'd be 150-1.
Right.
But I'm not going to say I'm going to jump on the 80-1 to win the race, but I'm going to tell you, there is an opportunity there. This kid can flat out drive a road course. That's where he grew up. That's what he did. And look, confidence goes a long way. That momentum goes a long way, especially on teams.
Well, you know, and another guy that's actually going to be fortunate enough to start near the front, who's a really big long shot, there's two of them. Ross Chastain is 100-1. He's going to start up near the front. Austin Dillon is 200-1, and he's going to start on the second
look,
row.
I love Austin Dillon. And all fair and honesty, you know, I drove for Richard for all those years, and Austin, I'm a fan of the Dillon boys. Austin Dillon's bad on a road course.
All right, but hold on for a second. You know,
I watched that kid go through three transmissions at Montreal going, oh, God.
I remember a point in time when Truex wasn't that good on the road courses, and he got better and better. And we are running so many road courses now in the series. I mean, how many? Austin has run
seven
this year on the schedule, but there were a number of road courses last year as well. I think the more track time, the more laps that these guys.
Okay, Jeff, let me keep my thumb sliding. Nine road course races, zero top tens for Austin Dillon in the last 10 races.
Okay. I'm just saying he's 200-1 and he's starting in the second
average
row.
Average finish of 24.8.
His average start was 24.8 in those races too.
23.4, 24.8.
Okay, he's going to start in the second row.
Just letting you know. I'm with you on long shots. Look, I'm right here with you. You know we love talking long shots.
Hey, we just had a 66-1 win at Daytona on the big track.
But 200-1.
I didn't say I'm betting him. I just said he's some guy to keep an eye on.
If you're looking for long shot, AJ Allmendinger, that's not that. That's a real opportunity right there. I like that one. When we come back, top threes and some of the head-to-heads when we return. And once again, welcome back. Jeff Motley, Brennan Gaughan, VSiN Studio. Talking a little Daytona road racing on Gaughan Racing here. And we're going to jump right back into the top threes on DraftKings. And no surprise here, looking at the odds to win the race for Chase Elliott at plus 225, the odds to be in the top three are minus 150. Those used to be numbers reserved for Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin,
and Phoenix.
And Martin Truex only. And now we've got Chase Elliott minus 155 for a top three. Still probably a pretty good bet if you want the truth.
Well, you know, and I've kind of got in my mind, I am saying who's going to finish third. And I think it's pretty obvious that the odds makers are saying who's going to finish third. Because, I mean, I'm pretty much giving the top two positions to Chase Elliott and Martin Truex Jr. Until someone else can step up there, and Kyle Busch winning the Clash does not count.
Once again,
I understand.
Look,
I understand. But
they don't deserve it.
Hey, we had a tire rule and everything else in that race, and Martin Truex Jr. inexplicably just driving into a wall.
That wasn't inexplicable.
I'm still not sure how that happened, and he probably doesn't know how that happened either. But I'm just telling you right now that until somebody goes out in one of these full length races and beats Elliott and Truex, it's hard to pick against him.
Well, you got Chase Elliott minus 155, Martin Truex plus 100 now. It's gone down a little bit. Ryan Blaney plus 325 right there, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin. The Dinger at plus 350. Kevin Harvick, 375. Joey Logano, 400. Brad Kay, 450. William Byron, 500. Then you get into some deeper odds. Alex Bowman and Kurt Busch at 7. Kyle Larson, Chase Briscoe, 750. Matty D, 12-1. Eric Almirola, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer at 14-1. Eric Jones, and there's my guy, Michael McDougall. Michael McDowell at 16-1 for a top three. Now we're talking, though. I'm telling you, I mean, I like riding hot hands, but it's just Daytona, and you know, per Jeff Motley, it's a crapshoot.
Hey, look, and you can take some flyers because you're kicking our butts anyway right now in the standings.
So. I don't need to take a flyer. I am going to lead from start flag to flag this year. No more of these, you know, letting you guys kick my butt on this show. If you go to second page, that you mentioned some guys earlier, but Tyler Reddick 18-1, Ross Chastain, Austin Dillon, Bubba Wallace, all down there at 20. Chris Buescher, Ryan Newman, 30. Ricky Stenhouse, 33. James Davidson, IndyCar racer, 100-1. Problem is the equipment's just not there for James. The talent is there. The equipment isn't. Daniel Suarez, I've talked about him on road courses. He's normally pretty good. 50-1, that Trackhouse car, which is legit equipment. And Suarez is a heck of a road racer. So I wouldn't say I'd go as far as a top three, but if you find a top 10 bet on a Daniel Suarez, I'd be willing to jump on that.
Yeah, I could see he's a guy that could surprise some people.
Yeah, I mean, the Mexico series has a lot of road races. That's where he came from, and he does pretty well in those places. So I said, if you're looking deep for a top 10 at least.
I would so love to see Suarez win just because at any race, because I just want to see Pitbull in victory lane.
when he does win, I hope he is at the track with him because that would be absolutely phenomenal. Oh.
Okay, we get invited to the party.
Daniel, don't leave me and Motley out. We'll be there. Let's go to the head-to-heads, Mr. Motley. There is some names that we don't normally see on a couple of head-to-heads, which is cool to watch. But we'll start out with one I'm looking at right off the bat is just Chase Elliott, the two favorites. Chase Elliott's a minus 130 to Truex's plus 110. I think we expect that the way the rest of the odds are going. But the one I want to jump on real fast for me, once again, I'm riding the hot horse. Michael McDowell is even money with Christopher Bell at minus 120. I'm sorry, but Michael McDowell, in the equipment he's driving, has got, you know, he's the 16th best point getter in the last 10 races. That doesn't sound great. But remember, it's equipment and what he does at these places. Christopher Bell.
Well, I think it's interesting that they put that matchup up there. I mean, to get Michael McDowell up there. But I'll tell you, the one that I'm looking at that I mean, if you want to go for the one who's the underdog in the matchup, I really like that Ryan Blaney plus 120 against Denny Hamlin minus 140. I don't see where there's that much discrepancy between Ryan Blaney and Denny Hamlin, and I really like Ryan Blaney, other than the fact that Denny is going to start a lot closer to the front than Blaney, but the race is long enough, and Blaney's going to pick off some guys, and he's got a good car.
If you look at the numbers, it's way closer than you think. Denny Hamlin, average finish last 10 road races, 8-7 to Blaney's 11-6. Four top fives to five top fives, Blaney to Hamlin. Blaney's got a win, though. Denny doesn't. So that is a unique one right there that could be fun to watch. A couple of the other ones that, you know, Kyle Busch is minus 110 to Blaney's minus 110. I mean, Kyle Busch, of course, won the race, but once again, due to the last lap attempt at a pass by Chase Elliott the other day. Yeah. So, I mean, that's everybody else is minus 110s across the board.
Kind of like what we see almost at Daytona. There's a lot of minus 110s.
But the fun ones, I mean, I do like you're saying, I do like looking at that Ryan Blaney at plus 120. That does entice me on the plus line. And the Michael McDowell even money, it really entices me, even though it's even money. You know, we don't talk enough about minus bets here. There's a reason for them. I mean, on Super Bowl Sunday, working my window, we bet a guy, bet $300,000 to win $200,000, you know, on the money line on the Chiefs. He was that sure the Chiefs were going to win. He bet $300,000.
That didn't work out too well for him, did it?
But what I'm saying is that the minus line is there for a reason, and it's not, you know, it's not terrible to bet it when you see like a Chase Elliott on the top three, the Chase Elliott, you know, minus 155. Guess what? It still as good as he's been, as dominant as he's been. I mean, he still finished with the wreck at the Clash. He still finished second.
Well, it's amazing. He's minus 130 against Truex, but minus 155 for the top three. I mean, those are huge numbers. But you also notice that they don't put Chase against anybody else.
Yeah.
They're that confident that he's going to finish up there in the top two.
Nope, but I believe his stats show that. I mean, Chase Elliott in the last 10 road course races, 8 top 10, 6 top 5s. And you ready for this number?
Let me guess, Five wins.
His average finish, the only reason his average finish is 7.3 is because a couple of those races, he at Sonoma in 2019, he finished 37th with an accident He blew his engine and finished 37th. If you take that data point out, his average finish is below four.
Yeah, it's like the old thing, throw out the bottom number, throw out the top number.
Yeah.
He's going to be way up near the
problem
top.
The problem is, you only throw out one. He's got five of those top numbers.
Exactly.
You only get to throw out one. You throw out a 37, he's got a hell of a deal. So Chase Elliott, by far the favorite for a reason. I don't dislike a minus 155 on him for that top three. As good as he's been and what he's shown, like you said, other guys have to prove to me, Jeff. Martin Truex is there. Ryan Blaney is also there. Those two have proved it.
But, yeah, and I think Kyle Busch will be there. I mean, I think Kyle Busch will be in the mix.
I do. But Kyle Busch was 20 car lengths behind in that finish when he won. And I think that Chase Elliott, you know, by far a top three bet minus 155 is worth looking at.
Well, Chase Elliott, he's just so dominant right now on the road courses.
He's been pretty sick. It's pretty awesome. I mean, he's really turned my head to it. All right, guys, when we come back, we'll do the group matchups, show you the standings in our group and the pick and our group picks when we return. Welcome back, everybody. Brendan Gaughan sitting in the big chair this week. Jeff Motley next to me talking road racing, going to give you our picks, going to knock out all our good stuff last week because we're definitely going to focus on how we did last week. We're going to do a big focus on that.
Actually, I think we are only going to have the last 15 seconds of the show to focus on last week.
I'm going to make sure I'm in control of the show this week. I'm going to make sure we have lots of time.
Actually, Karina is in control of the show.
Listen, Karina is always in charge. Depending on who it is, they always have control of us. We all know that. That's how the world rolls.
And they're no different than I am, not wanting to spend a whole lot of time on last week's picks.
So we'll go right into the group matchups. We're going to start off with Wowzer. Look at the group matchup, but Chase Elliott is on a plus number. So Group A has Chase Elliott plus 145, Martin Truex Jr. plus 175, and some of the biggest odds we've ever seen, Denny Hamlin plus 500, William Byron plus 600. I got to tell you, like you said, that Denny Hamlin plus 500 number. Look, it's a four-man horse race. We're not talking 43. Chase Elliott blows a tire. Martin Truex does what he did last week.
Or we have Chase Elliott and Martin Truex Jr. decide that last turn and neither one of them make it through there.
Yeah, I mean,
we've seen Truex get wrecked at the Roval by Jimmy Johnson coming to the checkers. We've seen Elliott and Blaney wreck at Daytona coming to the checkers. So it can happen.
I mean, Denny Hamlin did lead the Busch Clash for 21 laps. I mean, he was good at the Busch Clash. So I don't know. That plus 500 number on a Denny Hamlin, he's not a bad road racer, guys. He doesn't win. But
It's tempting.
It's very tempting. Group B, Ryan Blaney plus 265, Kyle Larson plus 265, Kyle Busch plus 265, and the Dinger at plus 285. Here's the deal. I love Dinger because we just talked about Dinger. But I look at this and go, man, Ryan Blaney, though, had that race won at plus 265, and Kyle Busch won it at plus 265, that to me right there, I'm just putting a big X over that group saying too volatile for me. That's too tight.
Well, let me ask you this, though. What do we know about Kyle Larson? I mean, Kyle Larson's never been a guy I've really thought of as one of the top road racers out there. So I'm even a little surprised to see him in Group B.
Three top 10s in eight races, average finish of 15 on road races, not just here. 10th, 8th, 13th. He didn't, of course, get to race this race last year or the Busch Clash. So, I don't know. That group just, to me, is very hard to handicap. I'm probably going to stick away from that one. jump into Group C, and here it's just an even horse race right here. Alex Bowman, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, and Joey Logano all at plus 270.
Big names.
Big names in Group C, but also names that don't notoriously, you know, I'm not going to say. Brad Keselowski was a hell of a, I mean, remember that bet? Every time I think of the one of the greatest battles in NASCAR history, Watkins Glen with the Dinger and Brad.
Yeah, great
battle. Not Dinger, Marcus Ambrose. Marcus Ambrose and Brad.
And I think Kyle Busch and Brad had a couple of pretty good battles at Watkins. But, you know, Harvick had his day when he was pretty good on road courses.
Harvick's got 7 top tens and a win in the last 10 road races.
Yeah, I mean, Harvick is not too shabby there.
That's another one, though. With all of them at even money right there at plus 270, it's hard to differentiate between them. I can make a case for just about everybody there except Alex Bowman. So I look at that and put a big X over it again. I'm not going to give you any, I can't give you any insight to say I like Group C anybody better than another. Over in Group D, we got Chase Briscoe plus 230, Kurt Busch plus 230, Matty D at 295, and Chris Buescher at plus 350. I like Chase Briscoe.
Well,
dude,
I think a lot of the love for Chase Briscoe is coming from how well he ran, obviously, in the Xfinity Series. I mean, he was so good at Indianapolis on the road course. I do like Chase Briscoe a lot there, but I like Kurt. I think those, it's a reason that those two guys are the plus 230.
So do I.
And I think that's a good. I don't see Matty D or Chris Buescher being in the running.
Matt's got a couple top tens. It was actually with some of the lesser teams, but he has not done well on the road courses since joining the Woods Brothers / Penske group.
And there's a guy that's going to be starting way back in the field.
It's going to be tough for him to make that up. I do like a Chase Briscoe, though. I think that Chase showed last year at that battle with Cindric all season. That was a hell of a battle, and I think that he can do pretty well there. Going into Group E, we got Christopher Bell and Michael McDowell at favorites at plus 260, and Tyler Reddick and Eric Jones at plus 280. Interesting.
You know, the guy, Tyler Reddick, I mean, I kind of thought in the clash, he was kind of a little bit of a bull in a china shop. But, I mean, he ran well. But, I mean, you know, the thing with him is if it was close, you're going to get a little metal rubbed up against you.
Look, he's got 2 top 15 finishes at the 2 road races he's done in the Cup Series, which is not terrible. Eric Jones, I don't remember Eric Jones. I mean, I'm having to look him up because I just don't remember Eric. How about this for Eric Jones? 10 races, 6 top 10s.
Sneaky good.
I was just going to say that's like the old Ryan Newman sneaky guy where,
yeah,
you know, and if you take out a couple bad races where he has a 40th place finish from a crash at the Charlotte Roval, 8th, 4th, 11th, and 3rd in 4 of his last 5 road races.
Maybe he's a guy to keep an eye on there.
That makes me nervous for Michael McDowell right there. That gives him a little heat in that group. I was heavy on Michael McDowell, but
you thought you had a layup up there, didn't you?
I did think I had. I thought I had an unassisted one. Group F, a couple names that we're not used to seeing, but it's all 270s. Eric Almirola, Justin Haley, Cole Custer, and Ross Chastain.
All right, this maybe I shouldn't even be hosting a radio show. I didn't even know Justin Haley was in the race.
Yeah, he's good point.
So now, if he's not in the race, then I feel really good about not knowing that he was in the race.
No, he's in the race. He's driving. He's on in the. Justin Haley is driving
one of the Spire cars.
He's got to be one of the Spire cars.
Okay. All right.
But I'm just looking at this. No, I don't see Justin Haley in the race.
See, I'm not sure he's in the race. Okay, I don't feel so bad now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm pausing on this because I'm just trying to look. Oh, there he is, 77 car, starting 20th.
Okay.
Look, Eric Almirola.
He's still not going to win Group F.
No, he's still not going to win Group F. Eric Almirola, to me, has been great at many places. Road races is not one of them. 9 races, got 2 top 10s, but when he got the 2 top 10s, other than that, good finishes.
But Cole Custer's his teammate, but I think Eric Almirola's in the best car.
Eric Almirola's in the best car, but I think Cole Custer's a better road racer. Cole Custer, to me, in that group, I'm jumping on Cole Custer right away because I've seen what he's done last year in the Xfinity Series, or 2 years ago in the Xfinity Series. I think Cole on road courses is very underrated, and I like Cole in that group right off the bat. So that's just me personally.
All right.
Well, now we get to the part of the show where we get to make our picks, but first we got to recap.
Do we?
Yes. I left over 4 minutes to recap.
You are awfully energetic right now.
I'm just saying. I mean, and I only really had 4 picks because I picked Noah Gregson. And Noah Gregson, of course, we did not make the field in the Mighty 62. So I only was 4
and
picks.
And I'm
I was
sure
2 for 4.
People who saw our show on Sunday and saw you picking Noah Gregson, who had been knocked out on Thursday, wondered okay. what on earth you were doing.
That's okay. I had Noah, and it was a loser because we did not make the race. But I had Bubba Wallace looking good for a top three, and he ended up dropping out. I had Austin Dillon top three. That was a winner. Kurt Busch, win group C, did not win. But Michael McDougall, group F winner for 275. So I'm the leader in the clubhouse. And then we can just kind of throw a blanket over the pit crew and Jeff Motley and say 0 for 10.
Well, it was pretty disappointing that on lap 15, I had three of my five guys basically eliminated. I mean, that did not work out very well for me. And actually, if you look at it, two of the pit crew's top five were knocked out in that early crash. I mean, even though Kurt continued on, he had no chance to win, and Blaney was knocked out. So,
You had Kyle Busch still running at the end. I'm looking Jeff for, but he just didn't. And you both had group people. Yeah, no, you didn't quite.
Well,
didn't have Michael McDowell and Austin Dillon.
Well, and here's the thing: if Bubba doesn't have a loose lug nut, I'd at least won with Bubba. Because Bubba was running really well.
He was running really well. All right, so we're going to start off, and I guess we're going to start with the pit crew picks since you guys are kind of tied for the rear right now. And the pit crew picks, they decided they're going with a Martin Truex Jr. top three at the plus 100 number. They've agreed with kind of what we've been saying, that Truex is, that's what the odds makers think. They agree with it. Ryan Blaney, plus 120 over Denny Hamlin. You and I talked about it. They're jumping on that bandwagon. They think that's a good one, so do I. Ryan Blaney to win group B. They're not listening to me. They think that is not a group to just X over. Kevin Harvick to win group C. And Chase Briscoe to win group D. So they're heavy in the groups. I can't dislike a couple of theirs, but I also think they could have gone other places.
Well, you're not going to like some of mine either then.
That's okay. Let's hear it. Mr. Motley, since you are second to last.
That's no big surprise that you don't like my picks. Well, one thing I don't do very often is pick a race winner, but I'm going Chase Elliott to win. I think he's going to win the race plus 225. I'm not passing that up. I'm also going Ryan Blaney for a top three at plus 325. I'm kind of hitching my wagon a little bit to Ryan Blaney. I know you don't like that group B, but I'm going with the pit crew and going Ryan Blaney at plus 265 to win group B. I also agree with the pit crew in group C. I'm going Kevin Harvick in group
Ganging
C.
Ganging up on me. I feel like I'm getting teamed up against.
And I'm going into group F, and I'm taking the best car. I'm going Eric Almirola to win group F. I just think Eric Almirola in a group F, I'm picking him.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with I'm picking a race winner this week, and I'm going Ryan Blaney at 16-1. I think that he's got something to prove. You know, we've always said that Ryan has not been – he's the opener, not the closer. But I think that Ryan this week, he's got something to prove. He's going to come out.
The guy who said stay away from group B that Ryan Blaney was in is picking him to win.
I don't like him in the group, but I like him at 16-1 to win the race. And so I hope both you guys win because you'll win 265 and I'll win 16-1. So go Ryan Blaney. I'm taking the dinger in a top three, plus 360, I think it was. I've scratched over it. I can't remember. And then I'm going to take Michael McDowell top three. I'm going with a long shot top three for Michael. I think that he's going to ride a hot hand. I was looking at Michael McDowell, that even number pick against Christopher Bell, but instead I'm going with two groups. I'm going group A, Denny Hamlin, and group E, Michael McDowell again. I'm jumping on I'm double dipping a Michael McDowell bandwagon here.
I know one thing. If you get some of your picks right, Karina and I are going to be looking way up at you for
You're already looking way up. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, we can see your bumper right now.
God, should I switch that to the even money with McDowell?
Too late.
Listen, the music's only started playing. I still got 30 seconds. I could still make an audible and go to the even money one. I don't know, guys. That's why we call it sports betting. Thank you very much, Mr. Motley. We appreciate it this week.
Great to be back in the studio.
Great for both of us to be back
both
in the studio. Had fun. Hope you guys had fun with us. We'll see you next week when we break this one down and talk about a little homestead racing on Gone Racing. Thanks, everybody.